Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Sportsbet BS Hotline, state your emergency.
Yeah, it's me partner's group. Me mate Dave, I reckons he bought in.
Okay, hang up now.
What?
And join Sportsbet's Bet with Mates. It's group betting without all the BS. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
The Odds Couple with Simon O'Donnell and David Taggart. For The Quaddie, curated tips from the experts. The Quaddie, download today.
Excuse me, what a terrible start. Welcome to the Odds Couple. Great to have your company on this Saturday morning. David Taggart's away on holidays. Some will say that's a good thing, some will say it's a bad. But I'll tell you what, man, he's not on the opener yet, but he's got to be soon because he's becoming an integral part of the show. Every hour between 8 and 9 on a Saturday morning, wherever you may be around the country, the state or the city of Melbourne, Josh Jenkins joins us regularly now and is doing a wonderful job. Morning to you, Josh.
Morning, Scoob. Geez, I don't know that I've looked forward to a day of racing more than today. Not necessarily because the racing is so amazing. We've got more to come, but she was a big day yesterday and on the SEN network, and I'm looking forward to there was a fair bit of love going around, Scoob. I'm looking forward to stripping out the Sportsbet Punters Club and then getting a little bit of hate mail back the other way, just to level things off. So she'll be a good day today.
Well, that's the great thing of sport and opinions, that some people like them and some people dislike them, and social media allows everyone to have an opinion and they like to voice it.
That's right. That is exactly right. So, looking forward to today. No Cam Luke, no D Taggart, and you haven't been able to step up to the plate either.
No.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of you.
Yeah, well, it sort of seems it was a bit of a payback. You know, last week I expected you to be, front and centre, and there you were with all your makeup on at the Seven Studios, popping in and out.
No disrespect to Channel 7, but I know where I'd rather be, and I am returning home today, this afternoon, with Samuel Hyland and Huey from upstairs. He gets another crack at the big time as well. He's going to come on air and do his same racer thing. So, should be a good day, mate.
You will enjoy it. Racing coming from Flemington here in Melbourne, of course. Randwick has got the Missile Stakes at Group 2 level. Flemington's got the Ori Star Group 3, and then, of course, a full coverage of Brisbane, etc. on SEN Track this afternoon. Chris Nelson joining us a little later on in the show to talk all things Racing Queensland. But, Josh, lots of news around. Peter Volandis, whenever Racing Victoria take one step forward, he seems to get New South Wales to take three steps forward. A massive prize money boost announced this week. I mean, he just keeps stepping up to the plate representing Racing New South Wales to say we want the best horses here all of the time.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Like, that is his job. His job is a lot of us south of the border, and I'd like to think I don't fit into this category. A lot of us south of the border think he's bad for the sport, but you need to understand what his job is. His job is to give Racing New South Wales the best possible product at all times. So I don't have any problem with what he's done. In fact, I think it's fantastic because I was sitting down the other day doing a little project, thinking about the best 10 days in Australian sport. Well, I think the hour of TV, the Everest leading into the Caulfield Cup, is one of the best hours of sport that we get now. So I think they do go hand in hand wherever the horses are. And I know that's a discussion in terms of, do races like the Manicato get completely eaten up? Well, you know, Racing New South Wales are more than within their rights to do whatever they want to do. And this $30 million yearly boost is gigantic. Well, all it does is put pressure on racing here in Victoria to not necessarily to go put it up $31 million, but find a way to ensure that it is still as lucrative and as important and as crucial. And we've got things in our advantage, don't we, Scoob, in terms of prestige and the Spring Carnival. We've still got things in our favour, but I tell you what, there are 30 million reasons, 30 million more reasons for horses to stay in Sydney. I saw Wayne Hawkes came out on, I think it might have been with Waitley, came out and said he'll have horses that only race in New South Wales. We shall see whether that's true, but it's certainly going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's quite a complex sort of situation now with the Sydney horses. The other thing that comes into play with the prize money boost, and I wanted to talk to you also about sports bets involvement in that, because I think your mob and our great friends here at the Odds Couple are yes. playing quite a role in that prize money boost. Coming back to that in a sec. The other thing that is going to be the challenge, not only with the prize money keeping Sydney horses in Sydney, is I don't reckon they've had a dry track in Sydney since January. They've been running racing on heavy eights and nines and tens and meetings called off, you know, right through from, you know, basically the autumn right through until now. I think a lot of that Sydney form is going to be thrown out the door, and people are going to say, like, we're not travelling our horses because they've had a tough enough time as it is. And now with this prize money boost, I think it's going to have quite a major effect on the racing here in Melbourne.
Well, I would agree. I would absolutely agree. And I think at the very least, you know, Racing Victoria is going to have to, you know, do some shuffling of the calendar. And, you know, we can't be too proud here in Victoria to say, no, this race has always been on this day or this night. This is the way it's always been, because things evolve. Like, just, you know, everything in the world evolves. Things change. You know, we never used to play sport on Christmas Day, and now the National Basketball League are going to play basketball on Christmas Day. Things just evolve, and not everyone will like it, but, you know, if the powers to be at Racing Victoria want to stand against this and say, no, this is what we've always done, so this is what we'll always do, well, we'll get left behind. But I do agree in terms of the heavy track issues. It's going to be just that little spanner in the works for punters, isn't it? Just, you know, look at a horse like Espiona. You couldn't. The bandwagon was absolutely chock-a-block. You couldn't get any more people on. She raced on a couple of those heavy tracks. Things went terribly awry. And the next time we see her, which will be soon, you know, we're not too sure, are we? We just don't really know what to make of her, because she raced on those heavy tracks. She didn't like it, clearly. They persisted with it. It didn't work. Then they pulled the pin, and now we're not sure. And potentially, because I saw something the other day, Scoob, saying that Sydney's in for another 2 months of incredibly wet weather. So doesn't sound like life's going to get too much better from a track perspective up there.
Yeah, well, we're not far away from finding out. You know, we're 3 weeks away from spring starting from a seasonal point of view, of course. And, you know, we'll see where all of that lands. And it'd be really interesting to watch just the effect that all of this mixture of different things, from weather to prize money, you know, horses' preparations being interrupted, just the sort of effect that has on not only the Sydney Spring Carnival, but obviously our Spring Carnival as well. Talking about that effect, you know, you want quality horses running. Alligator Blood, he's been banned. He's banned in New South Wales. He's now banned in Victoria. For those who haven't caught up with it, the majority owner of Alligator Blood is a registered bankrupt. So until he comes out of that bankruptcy, he's not allowed to be a majority shareholder in a racehorse. And so his horse in New South Wales and in Victoria has been banned. Now, there's been a proposal put forward. It'd be interesting just whether you think it's reasonable or not. And that proposal is the gentleman who is the majority shareholder has 60% of the horse. He has suggested to Victorian authorities that he will he will gift 15% of his ownership to Living Legends, and which brings him down to 45, which in strict terms, by the rules, says I'm now not the majority owner. I haven't got more than 50%, so it's more of a diplomatic discussion on what happens with the horse. So he's put that forward to resolve the issue. My gut feel, the way it's been put forward, I think it's been put forward in a legal manner, not a discussion. I think he's put a timeline on it that Racing Victoria have to be back to us by Sunday. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if you're in the right position to be putting timelines on when Racing Victoria should reply to you when your horse has been banned. So I'm probably thinking, is it in the spirit of how the law is seen? I probably don't think it is. What do you think?
I again, you know, like you and like so many others, don't know enough about the detail of, you know, these type of situations, and thankfully they don't arise too often. What feels right, I mean, 45% of what this horse could earn over the next 3 months, 12 months is still a lot of money, could be a lot of money. I would probably feel more comfortable because from a punters and spectators point of view, I want to see him. He'd be on the podium for, you know, in my opinion, the most interesting horses of the spring, to see whether his Queensland form stands up and whether he is fully back. So from that point of view, I'm desperately keen to see him, but I acknowledge and respect the rules of racing and the fact that, you know, this man has some issues that needed to be sorted out. I would be more comfortable with it. I would be fully comfortable with it if he owned a minority share in terms of 10 or 15%, maybe 20. Now, I don't know, you know, what you do with the remaining, but in my opinion, Scoob, I reckon 45 is still a lot because it's still, I mean, he could still earn $1.5 million. He wins the right couple of races. Like he's right up in the markets for Memsies and Maccabi Divas and all sorts of things.
Mm. And so, if he gets back to his best form, you know, he could, you know, he's going to be in Group 1 miles. I mean, he's going to run for probably $10 or $12 million in prize money over the spring.
That's right. And if he picks a couple off, well, you know, this owner who owns 45% is going to pick up $1.5-2 million perhaps.
And
still with that 45%. And even if he owns, you know, even if he's stripped and forced to keep 10%, he's still going to earn a lot. But to me, it would just probably just make that little bit of a difference, or enough of a difference, that you're not uneasy about it. And the overriding thing is, I just want to see the horse race in the best races. Now, hopefully that other stuff can get sorted out.
Yeah, with what we're experiencing in, you know, with the challenge from New South Wales and the number of horses we think are going to stay there, we need as many A graders down here as we can. Now, that won't influence the stewards in any shape or form. So, look, I hope there is a decision that can be reached in an amicable way, that we see the horse run, because we need quality horses in our big races. He is showing signs of being back to his best. I would like to see him race at his best, and you know, the other stuff, the administrative stuff and the rules of racing stuff. Let's hope we can work our way through that without, you know, people trying to build each other up on the way through. You know, that's a sit around the table and figure out what's best for racing overall, not just Alligator Boat, but you know, I think there's an industry perspective in this as well, because, you know, we need quality down here to be racing.
Now, you could not have said it better. I mean, our spring probably won't lose that much without him, but it will gain so much with him. He's just one of those horses who, He's a larger-than-life horse. People want to back him. People want to watch him, and hopefully we get the chance to do both.
Mate, a quick look ahead to the spring. There are certain signs as the winter goes on that, you know, spring's just around the corner. We're nearly there, you know. We're on top of it. One of them is, you know, trials that are happening all around the country, in particular Melbourne and Sydney, with the big names. And we saw Animo jump out during the week. Super impressive. Is he the best horse in Australia?
He's the best horse in Australia, yes. Whether he wins whatever his grand final will be.
It's got to be the top flake, doesn't it?
I think so, but I'll tell you, there are a couple of internationals who have said that they are definitely coming, including the reigning champion. I'm happy to say he's the best horse in the country. I love him. He's versatile. He's shown he's been durable. He's been able to race and win over 1,400 metres all the way up to 2,000. So I think he's going to be first up into the Winx Stakes, which is, you know, that's a pretty good lofty target to kick things off, which will be August 20. So, you know, not far away, two weeks away today. So it's bloody exciting. And his trial was excellent. James McDonald just gave him a little squeeze and said, come on, boy, let's go. And he just was able to handle Angel of Truth, and Cascadian was in the trial as well. I think Profondo was in there, Ice Bath. So it was a seriously good trial.
It's going to be also interesting to see the improvement in the horse. The great thing about our racing here during our spring and autumn, and during the winter for that matter, up in Queensland, you know, when you're a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old running against, you know, your own sex and your at equal weights in two and 3-year-old races is really important to a horse's career. But once you leave that 3-year-old period of your racing life, you know, you then get into weight for age. Now, as an example of that for Animo, last year carrying 49 in a Cox plate and going down by a nostril, is this year going to be carrying 57, I think it is, either 57 or 58 at the weight for age conditions. So he has to improve 7 or 8 kilos in a race that he just got beaten in last year. That's a massive step from 3 to 4.
Huge, huge. And there's a lot at, I was going to say there's a lot at stake for this guy, but I mean, there is and there isn't, because his place, you know, his place on the Daly roster is solidified. His place on any roster is solidified, because he's a beautiful horse. He's well bred. He's got the runs on the board. But I think we'll get a great indication as to where James Cummings and the team think he is, because he'll only turn up if they think he can genuinely go close to winning a Cox plate. Because as you said, he'll have to improve. And what it means in terms of how many lengths, I don't know. I'm not good enough to be able to, you know, articulate that or work that out, but he will have to improve significantly to measure up, because some of the horses he's going to face, they're not going to cop any weight at all. He's going to be meeting them, you know, 6-7 kilos worse off, as you outlined. So he is going to have to improve a lot. I think he's got it in him. I think there's no doubt, and that trial tells me that he's come back as good as ever. And as a 4-year-old bull, you'd imagine he'll get better and better with 2, 3, 4 runs. And he's shown that a little bit. He's had, you know, little dips in his preparations where you thought, oh, is he going as good as we think? And then was it the Randwick Guineas or the Rosehill Guineas or something, where he just absolutely obliterated them and said, I am the real deal.
Yeah, and I really look forward to that, because I think he is the real deal. And the great horses make up that weight just because they are great horses. And, you know, there's a list of them. There's a raft of them over the journey. And the one I remember probably mostly, you know, is a horse like Octagonal that, you know, used to only just win as a 3-year-old. And you used to think, oh, he's not dominating. And I don't know if he'll be a weight for age horse. Well, you know, winning a Cox plate tells you he became a weight for age horse. And the great horses do make up that barrier when they go into open grade. And we really hope, and I think you probably we're on the same page, Josh.
We are. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't seen that trial, make sure you have a look at it. Cascadian, geez, was he was a good run in that trial coming in the outside. He was another 75, he probably runs past Animo, to be honest. Now, you don't know what each horse is being asked for, but he's a flashy horse with a big white face, and he was charging. So look out for Cascadian early in the prep too.
Fantastic. There's some great racing ahead. Wonderful things happening on this show ahead as well. Josh has been talking thoroughbreds. He's going to be talking trotters after the news at 8:30. But coming up next, Chris Nelson will join us after the break talking all things Racing Queensland.
The Odds Couple with Simon O'Donnell and David Taggart. For The Quaddie, curated tips from the experts. The Quaddie, download today.
Jenkins and myself, and plenty of winners from you, not only just in the next few minutes, but also right throughout SEN track this afternoon, of course.
Yeah, we've got a big day. Nine races at Doomben. I think we'll probably start from race two with the early start with trackside later on. But a bit of rain overnight, guys. Not a lot. It's just tipped the track into the soft five rating, and things are supposed to clear up from probably mid to late morning. So, if, providing we don't get any more and the radar doesn't look too bad, we might even get an upgrade back to good if the sun comes out, which it should. So don't think it'll be any major drama.
What do you like?
Well, we'll go with race 5, number 4, Ocean Treaty, one from the O'Day to Hoisted stable. She's a mare that's had one run back. Look, she was beaten in a four-horse thrilling finish recently at Doomben. A Wham won the race, but jockey Jaden Lloyd copped a fine for not riding Ocean Treaty out, and stewards were of the opinion that she could have won had he done so. So I'm going with her today. She's generally consistent. If she puts in a bad run, there's usually an excuse for it. So I think she'll go close here, race 5, number 4. And one of our old favourites, I know you're probably going to laugh here, guys, race 8, number 8, Garibaldi. he promises a bit. He can be a little bit unreliable, but he's just below that group class. He's up to listed grade. This is certainly not listed, but it just looks a nice race for him. Angela Jones will take 3 off, so down to 52.5. Whether he settles back or settles a little further forward remains to be seen, but wherever he settles, I think he'll be very hard to beat. So race 8, number 8, Garibaldi, the other of the two best bets today at Doomben.
Chris, race what we won't be, we'll just be about to kick things off on Saturday afternoon trackside, Saturday morning trackside, in fact. Race 1, number 1, Spiritualized, this 3-year-old colt by Spirit of Boom. It's got one win from 4 career starts. It's run second 3 times, $1.45. Is this a good thing? Is this a good horse, or is this a bit of a lay chance, this horse?
Well, you know what, Josh, I wouldn't lay it because I think that he'll probably win, but there's one there that should be a lot closer in the market to him, and that's number 2, Hang 5, who's only had the 3 starts and looks really promising. And trial, I saw it trial at the Sunshine Coast, I think it was Sunshine Coast recently, and, left down and ran right over the top of them. So I think the best way out here is boxing them up in an exact or something. You won't get an overseas trip out of it, but you'll finish in front. Yeah, I don't think Spiritualized should be that short. And although the run was really, really good last time, down by Honeypot late after setting the tempo. But no, I wouldn't be laying and I wouldn't be backing for those runs, if that makes sense.
Chris, before you go, Josh and I have just had a good chat about Alligator Blood. He's banned from racing in both New South Wales and Victoria. He can still race in Queensland, not that there's any races around for him at the minute, particularly in the class that he's indicating, or the form he's indicating that he's back in. The way of this horse going forward to race in Victoria that's been presented by the owning group is that the majority owner, who's the registered bankrupt, he owns 60%. He's going to gift 15% of that to Living Legends, so he becomes a 45% owner, and the rest of the ownership group stay intact. Should he be allowed to run in Victoria under those conditions or not?
Well, I'd like to see the horse run everywhere. I mean, we want to see the horses as tipsters, punters, whatever. We like to see these good horses race. So I don't know about the nitty-gritty of it and when you get down to the percentages and everything, but from my point of view, yes, I'd love to see the horse race. But having said that, I don't know anything about money that might be owed or anything along those lines. Not privy to that information, but just looking from From my point of view, I think the horse should race because it takes away from us fans of racing seeing the best horses, or in this case, the best horse, or one of them.
You know, it's interesting. On our text machine, we're getting a lot of opinion on the issue. And look, I haven't mentioned the name of the gentleman that's a bankrupt. I don't want to mention his name. Don't know the nitty gritty of who owes what, other than he is a registered bankrupt at the minute. Whether the prize money helps him pay back his debtors, his creditors, I'm not sure. But for the good of racing and the horse, if we forget because we're not going to be privy to all the facts from the ownership group point of view, for racing just in general, it'd be good to have him about.
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, now they're starting to think about him racing in Hong Kong in the international racing, on the International Racing Day in December. Will they let him race in Hong Kong? Will that be an issue too? Who knows? And they've also thought about putting a nomination in for the Japan Cup, which I find astounding considering that's 2,400 metres. Is he just going to join in halfway or something? Is that the way they're going to work that?
Yeah, you get a stitch in
that's an odd one. The other thing is, if this does continue down this path and he doesn't race in Victoria, then we'll see him on Magic Millions Day in Queensland because he's a qualified Magic Millions horse, as we know. So that's good for us. But, I'm with you, Simon. For the better of racing and to always see these good horses in action is what we want. So, I hope he races. It'd be great to see him in the carnival down there because, look, he looks as though he's back to his best.
No, it certainly does. Chris, great to chat. Look forward to your input this afternoon on Trackside. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week across the Sunshine State. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. Josh, I'm going to give you a few minutes to change your hat because we're going to go to the news and a bit of a break, and then you're going to come back and I need some trots news from you because, mate, I'm sorry, my third week of all up, nothing.
No, well, technically you are right, Tom. The all up went under, but if you'll cast your mind back to my second tip of the day, second tip last Saturday morning was Aussie Battler at $17.550. And I said, oh, look, probably just back him to win because there was no third divvy. Well, what do you reckon he did? He got up and got the chocolates. So just organise a celebratory chat and parade for me on the other side of the news, will you?
Goodness God. Leave that to me. We'll be back with more on Scuffle shortly.
The Odds Couple with Simon O'Donnell and David Taggart. For The Quaddy, curated tips from the experts. The Quaddy, download today.
They're 50% right. Simon O'Donnell's here. David Taggart isn't. Tags is away having a well-earned break. And Josh Jenkins, as usual, joining me on The Odds Couple, who's changed hats during the news break. He's taken his thoroughbred hat off and put his trotting hat on, the trots.com.au, every race live and free. I follow your tips week in, week out. I'm loyal to you. I have an all-up of that. Now, you've made a case that your all-up got up last week. Well, it wasn't an individual. Your individual tip got up. But
to race double, which went under. I think both horses went under, Wolfstride and
Lineup. So there was no,
both went down.
No song and dance from me introducing you because my method of betting went nowhere with the way you did last week.
So let me sort of just work this out. I've put a $17 winner on the table, and that's not good enough. Is that sort of how we're? Is that the outcome of last week?
Pretty much is. Yeah, well, I go all up. It was no good if the other two didn't run where they were meant to run.
Well, the reason. I did the Cats game last week, so obviously I have to hand the phone in when you're working at a game. So I didn't see any of the racing, and then got off the ground and grabbed my phone back and saw the video of our tips for the trots, and someone had put a vomiting emoji, and I thought, oh gee, that's a bit strong. I guess these tips didn't get up. Had a look. Sure enough, the all up went under, and then I saw Aussie Battler $17.550, and I thought, hang on, geez, not sure what more you can possibly ask for, but evidently you need more. So how about this, Scoob? Now I don't know how you're going to turn this into an all up. You might have to have a week off the all ups and just have five each way on these because I'm going for extreme value. Mm-hmm. And we are back at Melton tonight. The lights have been restored. They've got new lights in the place. They've done all the landscaping. Seen some photos on social media, and Melton looks a picture of health. Race two, number three, Rick Riley. We'll get 50 to 1 about this, Blake. We'll get 50 to 1. And just have a penny each way, right? Because he'll get a pegs run. He'll cop no pressure. And I don't. There's not a lot of method to my madness with this one. It's just a stable, the Douglas stable. They are very, very good at getting horses like this to run a big race at big odds. He's just going to get the perfect run in transit. Abby Sanderson claims, so she gets this horse a better barrier draw with her claim. 41-480. I reckon we'll get better than that at the time. Race two, number three, Rick Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Race four, we're going to have two bets because I reckon both these favourites are vulnerable. Ira Poole and Elegant. They're both sub $2, if you can believe that. They're both vulnerable. Elegant's first up. You can leave me out. So race four, number two, Lockhart Shard, a former Kiwi, who won first up in Australia, wasn't overly impressive, and then hasn't been super at his past two. But again, he's got the nice barrier draw. Gets barrier two straight to the fence. No pressure. Will get his chance, particularly on an each-way basis. And then horse number four, Jack Law, takes the steer for the Douglas camp. Bet on the Tiger, which has been a pretty good way of making money in the footy over the past 4 or 5 years. They're both around that 20-1 mark, Scoob. So have $5 to win on both of those two.
Right, okay.
And, yep. And I just think both of those will be Johnny on the spot. So if you want to, I don't know how you can get a double out of this. Have $1 on all three of them to win, and if that happens, then you can buy me an island. But maybe have race two, number three, the place, into race four, number two, the place, and see what happens there. I'll tell you what price we'll get for that.
Well, I can do that with both. I can have two all-ups here. I can have race two, number three, the place, race four, number two, the place, race two, number three, the place, into race four, number four.
Yeah, they're both paying about $20.
Yeah, there you go. I'll have now two all-ups.
All right. Well, so, and let me just get this straight so I can sort of come in with the correct level of emotion next week. If I get the 50-1 up wins, but one of the other two doesn't run a place, is it a pass or a failure?
Well, it's a pass to many. It will be a failure to me. Okay?
Oh, crikey.
Well, it's a hard school, pal.
Not much of a win-win situation. It's more of a loss-loss.
Mate, you've been here 2 minutes. I don't just put the arms out and embrace you immediately. You'll be earning your stripes.
Okay. All right, I'll keep chipping away, but that's how we're going to
play.
I'll
let you know when I give you a full embrace. At the moment, I'm giving you a handshake. You're not into the hug stakes yet, my friend.
That is how we're going to play our return to Melton tonight for a 10-race card.
Beautiful. Look forward to it. Lap up the trots, visit thetrots.com.au. Josh has quickly bolted out. He's going to change his cap around again. He's going to put his thoroughbred one on. We're going to come back and have a look at a couple of good races in Sydney, in particular the Missile Stakes. And then we'll get our teeth into what's going to be happening out at Flemington this afternoon here in Melbourne. More odds couple after the break. It's 17 minutes to 9 o'clock.
The Odds Couple with Simon O'Donnell and David Taggart. For The Quaddie, curated tips from the experts. The Quaddie, download today.
For you on The Odds Couple this morning, we're going to dash up to Sydney, have a quick look at the Missile Stakes, which is the major race in Sydney town this afternoon. A couple of scratchings. There isn't. Sorry, I looked at the wrong race. Forbidden Love in the Missile, it should be a class above them. Josh, am I fair in saying that? What's the market telling us?
Yeah, well, the market is trending that way. Of course, first up, this daughter of All Too Hard, Hugh Bowman taking the ride for Mike Freeman. 340, got to deal with a whitish gate. That's some concern and fresh up. So, you know, depending on how... whether Huey can slot this mare in or she can sort of get a bit of a backside to follow. So 340 Bellucci Babe for James McDonald and Bjorn Baker at 460. Count the Rupee, the toppy at $6. Embracer at 8, Hilal at 11, and Nimalee at 13. It's a very, very open race, this one. But Forbidden Love, $3.40, will, unless the market shifts considerably, will start favourite.
And I think a nice race for Forbidden Love to kick off in. But the horse I think's giving the value is the 2, Hilal. With a good gate.
I'd agree with that.
Closer than people think, and I reckon it just it'll be putting the head down and coming hard in that last 100. And if some of these horses aren't quite wound up to the level they should be to win a race at this level, he might be the one that spoils the party.
Agree. Just the trip worries me. He hasn't done much at over the 1200 over the 6 furlong. So I agree. But was good in a 900-metre trial. So maybe there's a little more sharpness there for Hilal and William Pike than we've seen, because just the had the 4 goes over the 6 furlongs and only ran in the money once. So that's a concern. Got good soft track form, though. So I agree, it's probably the play each way there. I'm not necessarily keen to dive into Forbidden Love at that price. So I'm probably with you there, Scoob.
Okay, we're looking at a bit of value in the Missile Stakes with Hilal up in Sydney this afternoon. The all-important race meeting for us today is at Flemington. It's a ripper card. And on the other side of the break, we're going to come back and have a detailed look at it. No tags as quaddy. We're going to have a Jenkins O'Donnell quaddy. And I think it'll get over the line. I'm very confident we'll get it home. More after the break.
The Odds Couple with Simon O'Donnell and David Taggart. For the Quaddy, curated tips from the experts. The Quaddy, download today.
Don't forget to try a sports bet. Bet with mates, start a group and build a multi together. Conditions apply. And as always, gamble responsibly. Time now for our market movers and Quaddy going forward. And of course, that brought to you by Werribee Isuzu Ute. They make buying cars easy. They certainly do down there, the team at Werribee Isuzu. Josh, what have we got from a betting perspective? What are the best back that...
We've got some best back runners today. So horses that have been at big time Werribee Isuzu movers in the market. 4 best backed runners, 4 market movers for you. So in the first race, horse number 4, Craig Williams, takes the ride. This young horse has only had a couple of starts. It's a 3-year-old, but it's only had 2 starts. Berkeley Square, the favourite, $2.20 in from $2.50. It is in the first there. So race 1, number 4. Race 3, number 13, Verenskova. It's been really, really well backed as well. $4.50 all the way into $3.30. It's been a good go there. Mark Zara jumps on, takes the steer here, second up. Nice barrier. The market is expecting it to do a really good job as well. So race 3, number 13. This is an interesting one. A big watch here. Race 5, number 2, Stage Man, the West Aussie horse for Bob Peters. Most people who sit back and watch Ascot late on a Saturday will know these colours. Danny O'Brien now training this horse. It is potentially a very good horse, potentially a Group 1 horse. It's been well back, $7 into $5.50. There's been good money for it early, and we'll see whether that continues on as the day progresses. And then race 9, number 10. This is also, I reckon, everyone in the world's going to want to be with. Race 9, number 10, Fire. I reckon people just want to be with it because of its name for Team Hawks. Damien Thornton takes the ride as one its past couple in different preps. So it was very good first up, winning at Sandown when I think Wayne Hawks basically declared it. So it has been well-backed as well. So the best back runners on the card, race 1, number 4, race 3, number 13, race 5, number 2, and race 9, number 10, Fire.
Now, I have to make a point of the opportunity we have here, Josh. We if we get this quaddy right and it gets up,
yes,
the we'll be able to stand so tall against the midget who's away on holidays.
We do that anyway, but yeah, I agree.
Last time we got a quaddy was when there was black and white telly, so it's very important we get this right. So let's have a look at the quaddy legs now, and the first is race 7.
Race six. It is the Parade Lounge Benchmark 84, and the market is interesting. Here to shock for Brent Stanley. Damien Oliver takes the ride, $3.30. Lyrical Lad, 480. He's our Bonneval, the import, who was unbelievable first up, was just fair second up. Interesting to see what he does third up here for Craig Newitt and Busted and Young at 550. Born a King at 650. They're the main protagonists in the market.
Your quality numbers?
I got real greedy here. I went with just 3, Born a King, yep, and 4, He's Our Bonneval, because He's Our Bonneval is one of my best bets of the day, Scoob. What have I left out?
5 and 6. I just went 3, 4, 5, 6. So
yeah, I initially did that, but I want to go real wide. I'll probably take a little one with 3, 4, 5, and 6, but I want to go real wide in race number 7. So we're pretty much in agreement there. So race number 7 over 2,530 metres, if you don't mind. T Waters for Harry Coffey and Archie Alexander is your favourite, $3 at the moment. Just out from 290, Horrifying 420 into 360. It's had some support. High Emotion for Linda and Ma Eustace at 440. Through Irish Eyes at 480. Memphis all the way out to 21. And then a host of others at longer than $31. So this was the one where I'm either taking 4 and 5, T Waters and Horrifying, or I'm just putting F on this race and just hoping for a blowout.
Well, I've gone your 4 and 5, and I'm upping you the 6 and 7. So 4, 5, 6, 7 I've got in that second leg of the quaddy or field, depending on how much you want to spend. Third leg?
Yeah, I'm going to slap an F on that one, I reckon. I just don't like those horses. Third leg, and now this one was, this is either all duck, no dinner, to quote the great Ed Langdon. Nicolini Vito at $2.20 was a good winner, resuming. Just interested to see what the market does with this horse this time around, because it was a double-figure winner. Now we've got to take 220. Zoltan at 6 and Winning Partner at 9. I'm taking the field here.
Field 3, 4, 6, 8 for me in the last leg.
9 and 10, Chain of Lightning and Fire. They're the best bets on the card for me.
We've agreed. 4, 7, 9, 10 for me. Your best of the day.
Race 9, number 9, Chain of Lightning to upset the apple cart.
I think I might just go along with you with the Chain of Lightning. We agree to be friends today and just win a pot full of money for everyone. Just good luck to Savo. Great to have your company this morning. Great to have everyone's company out there in Radio Land. You're going to have some fun for the next 3 hours. Hutchie and Pickers coming up on Off the Bench.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.